Let's talk about how you can unleash growth in your team by helping your team get unstuck again if it is stuck. Give and receive feedback whenever it's helpful. Uncover and use conflicts. Give responsibility and courage. Enable safe learning. Hello and welcome to today's LightWolf podcast, your podcast for leadership with impact. If you want to succeed in business, with your department, with your team, with your country, or with your entire company, you need three strong pillars of success. First, a clear strategy that everyone understands and executes the same way. Two, a strong shared leadership culture that is clearly defined and lived by all employees. And three, real teams that do not just work next to each other in silos or with each other in occasional projects, but who work truly for each other because they trust each other blind. But sometimes teams get stuck. They become trapped for very different reasons. There are a number of them. And the very same team with the very same people who last year were heroes can suddenly be stuck this year. And there are a couple of reasons, and today's podcast just picks three. The three most common reasons that I perceived mainly in my business career over the last more than 30 years. Here are three reasons why teams get stuck. No feedback, no growth. Denial of conflicts, for example, due to convenience. It's more comfortable to deny conflicts rather than work through them. Or for the desire of harmony, because it should be nice and cozy all the time. And three, problem admiration. One of the things that I really don't like at all. Teams start admiring problems all day long and debating and discussing with a leadership vacuum because no one is taking responsibility for solutions. Suddenly, everyone just goes along or waits for others to solve the problem. Let me share two examples that I really experienced. One is from the business world. One of the companies we are right now allowed to support. We completed the first leadership program successfully. We are now invited to create and deliver a much bigger one. Is a company in the pharmaceuticals industry. More than 50,000 employees worldwide, headquartered in Asia. And last year, I was invited to support more than a dozen of their top leadership talents in developing them to their next level as leaders. So for 6 months, we worked together. For 6 months, they also had two projects to develop and recommend and present to top management at the end of the program. One was about portfolio question and the other one was about automation of the company worldwide. One of the teams did really well. They got going from the get-go. The other team, I observed and then heard from them, wasted the first 3 months altogether in meeting after meeting, just debating, but not agreeing any action. Everyone admired the problem with passion. No one took responsibility to solve it. I call that the leadership vacuum. And that is one reason why teams get stuck. Another example comes from the world of sports. I am very interested in sports, and I also believe that there are many lessons that can travel from the world of elite sports to business and vice versa. And here is an example from a German football club called Schalke 04, who is one of the absolutely, it's a legend. This club is just a legend. And in my view, yes, I'm not a member, I'm not a warm-hearted supporter, but I admire them. I admire the atmosphere in the stadium when I'm there, and I just somehow feel they belong into the first division, but they not always are, right? Like right now. And about 4 or 5 years ago, they got relegated down, and miserably, they lost and lost and lost. And then one of their legends, their living legends, Mr. Yves Eigenrauch, got interviewed in a German sports studio. And he got asked the question, Mr. Eigenrauch, why is Schalke relegated? And his answer was, you know, suddenly everyone just wants to go along. Meaning that apparently every player on the pitch was playing to play and maybe playing not to lose and waiting for someone to take the lead, waiting for someone to take responsibility. But that someone didn't show up. And that's why they lost game after game. And that is one reason why teams also in the business world get stuck. So that is why teams can get stuck. Let's now open a new chapter, which is solutions. What are my best tips for you, how you get out of this, and how you get your own teams into growth again? Tip number one, give and receive feedback whenever it's helpful for the other person. Feedback is the lifeblood of motivation and performance. It's the breakfast for champions. Only when feedback is a lived routine can teams succeed. Let me share a real case from another Lightwolf leadership training program. 2016, more than 100 participating leaders. Training development over 2 years. One of the training workshops, about 10 attendees, included a former player of the German national hockey team. He was an Olympic silver medalist. And he described in the leadership training, when we worked on feedback and particularly on constructive criticism, how his coach sometimes annoyed him with the feedback he gave him. Henning Fastrich is his name. Warm regards, Henning, if you listen to this podcast, to the former national coach of the German national hockey team. Kind of the sentence, coach, why am I always criticized? And why I'm always criticized in front of the whole team? Answer from the coach, Henning. As long as you receive feedback, everything's fine. You only need to start worrying when you no longer receive any feedback. Unquote. Yeah. I like it not just because it may sound funny, which is not. I can sympathize that the receiving end might have felt a little uncomfortable in that cabin in front of others. But the statement from the coach, I think, is very telling. It's better to give a feedback in a way that might be perceived as uncomfortable than not giving the feedback at all. And let me back that up with another scientific evidence. I am a big believer in strengths-based leadership. I think, it's my experience, every human being has strengths and weaknesses. Every successful leader has strengths and weaknesses. And I think we should just honestly reflect about both. We should be aware of them and then reflect about them and work on them. But I also believe it's a waste of time to spend almost all the time on turning weaknesses into strengths. No doubt, I think it is necessary to neutralize weaknesses, particularly when they are controlling. We need to invest time to take our weakness from weak to neutral. Ideally, develop a new habit, a new routine to automate this. Or completely stay away from any work that requires our weakness. Then stay away from it. But then we should invest most of our time into strengthening our strengths that we already possess naturally. Because I'm not here to play not to lose. I prefer playing to win. And winning happens with maximizing your strengths. Maybe you can feel how much I'm passionate for strengths-based leadership. And I recommend one particular book that works with it. It's called Strengths Finder from Tom Rath. This book is based on that assumption of strengthening strengths. And in the book, in the introduction somewhere, there are some stunning facts about the impact of feedback or non-feedback. Specifically, this book quotes research confirming that if your boss does not give you any feedback over a prolonged period of time, say 6 months or more, there is a 40% risk that you fall into a state called inner resignation as a result of not receiving any feedback. Second scenario, your boss gives you feedback, but always on your weakness. That might not be nice, but your likelihood of inner resignation falls from 40 to 22% if you receive feedback only on your weakness. It's not nice, it's not ideal, but it's better than not receiving any feedback at all. The best, though, is if your boss knows your strengths and your weaknesses, and if your boss focuses most of her or his feedbacks on your strengths. And by the way, that may contain praise and criticism on your strength. Both. It's not always nice to be receiving feedback on your strength. But it should always be constructive. When your boss knows your strength, and when most of her or his feedback for you is based and focused on your strengths, then the risk of you falling into inner resignation declines from 22 to only 1%, to almost nothing. Let me repeat. No feedback, 40% inner resignation. Feedback on your strengths, 1% inner resignation. That to me confirms in numbers how powerful feedback is. So if you feel that your team is stuck, take a closer look at the feedback culture, at the feedback routines that you live in your team. And if you do see that there is no feedback or there is no effective feedback, then be the change you want to see and start it. Give feedback whenever you see it's helping others. And ask for feedback when you feel you need it, right? Reinforce and develop praise and criticism, always constructively. So that's tip number two. And tip number three, and that was tip number one, apologies. That was tip number one on feedback. Tip number two, uncover and utilize conflict. I must always laugh when I think about it. Some people believe that high-performing teams do not have conflicts. Bullshit. High-performing teams have just about the same number of conflicts as low-performing teams. The difference is not in the number of conflicts. Is in the way how they deal with them. In low-performing teams, conflicts are often denied, while in high-performing teams, conflicts are embraced and utilized for getting into growth as individuals, as team, and for the business. Let me share a real-life example from one of our clients right now. So right now, again, we are supporting a 3-year-long transformation of a triple-digit number of leaders in a company in the financial industry. And one of the many, many teams is led by someone new in that role. And that woman just joined this role. And what she finds after a few months is described as, you know, Stefan, among my maybe 12 leaders here, I think many of them have been working alongside each other for years, but I'm not sure they ever really collaborated as a team. And in terms of conflict, I think they have an attitude to conflict that is just not helpful. In isolation, team one comes to me and complains about team two. And in isolation, team two comes to me and complains about team three. But they never talk with each other. And when I bring them together and put the conflict on the table, they all deny the conflict. And they all say, no, no, it's all perfect. It's all great. It's all fine. It's all nice. So they deny conflict. And I want to change that. Can you please help us? And of course we can help. That's what we are going to do in the next couple of months, to help that team lay the foundation for becoming a team. And tip number three, give responsibility and courage. Enable safe learning. When teams are stuck, sometimes they learned, don't make a mistake, don't stand out, avoid any risk. It's better not to be seen at all. The consequence of this? Working strictly by the book. Not looking for results, but just following the process. Safeguarding instead of taking an initiative. And administration instead of creation of strong solutions. My provocative thesis: some teams are not low performing, but they are low in courage. So opportunity for you. Give them responsibility and encourage them. Give them courage. Courage is a muscle. And muscles grow by being practiced. So help them practice their courage muscle by believing in them more than they believe in themselves. But by trusting them more than they trust themselves. Give them responsibility that really challenges them. And then encourage them. Model a growth mindset. When they say, but dear boss, I can't, then don't accept that mindset. I can't yet is perfectly okay. But I can't is not. I can't yet is the mindset that you may want to create in your environment. And then praise. Praise progress, whether it leads to success or to learning. Sometimes you win and sometimes you learn. Make people see that occasional failing is desired, is expected, is even appreciated. Of course, it's not intended, but it's the price of growth. We need to learn to take calculated risks. More, faster, and bigger than ever before. So when you want to spread that attitude to your people, do not just say, well done, it worked. But also say, thank you for trying it, even if it didn't work. And make it visible in your team. Whoever takes risk in your team gains respect, not trouble. So in this podcast, I've shared three common growth blockers in teams that I came across in my career. In total, it's six principles of high-performing teams. And if you want to improve all of them in your team, then feel free to connect with me. And if you're interested, feel free to book time straight in my calendar via the link here in the show notes. And let's talk about your team. Let's talk about how you can unleash growth in your team. Yeah? By helping your team get unstuck again, if it is stuck. I look forward to listening to you and to maybe finding a few ideas and a few solutions together in our call. And if you did enjoy this podcast today, then please take your smartphone now and click the star rating in whatever podcast streaming service you use. Click the star rating now, because it helps us understand you were satisfied with this piece of content, and it helps us learn from you on what works and what we might be able to improve if you leave us a one-sentence reference. So in summary, three things that you can do as a leader to get teams that are stuck moving again. One, give and receive feedback whenever it's helpful. Two, uncover and use conflicts. And three, give responsibility and courage. Enable safe learning. Thank you very much for listening and looking forward to welcoming you again next week. Take care and bye for now.